Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Email her on refilwem@702.co.za.
So, of course, something we've been talking about a lot throughout the show and anywhere you look, quite frankly, and on this station on 702. This past week, the country found itself under fire, under stress due to the riots, to the looting, and people, you know, stealing, taking anything that they could get their hands on, targeting big business and targeting small and micro enterprises. We've had the Gauteng Premier saying he believed that the township economy had been set back by as much as 15 years. And I guess that's where, you know, of course your heart goes out to any businesses, anyone that was employed, that was affected, because of course all those businesses employ South African citizens, citizens with hopes, with dreams, with aspirations, with families to feed. And sure, the impact is not just financial, economic, but emotional and psychological as well. But I thought it would be key and important to have a conversation that focuses on just the kind of impact that this looting has had on the township economy. And with the help of Bulelani Balabala, who is the founder of Township Entrepreneurs Alliance, just get a sense of perhaps where to from here, if it's even, you know, the right time to ask that question, but also get a sense of the extent of the damage. Welcome to the program, Bulelani Balabala. Thank you so much for your time. Good morning, Bulelani.
Good morning, Rufila. How are you?
Bulelani, I am well. I really appreciate you availing yourself.
No, man. Thank you so much for having us on the platform to chat about the events of the past couple of days.
Yeah. Bulelani, if you could just very briefly sum up for us the work of the Township Entrepreneurs Alliance. You've been around for just over 6 years. I might have that wrong. I might have read an old bio.
Yeah.
But you're a platform for entrepreneurs in the informal and formal sector to access information, mentorship, and business support. Put us in the picture, the full extent of the work that you do and just how you work with entrepreneurs.
Thank you so much. Good morning to all the listeners. So Township Entrepreneurs Alliance, you're correct, initiative started about 6 years ago with the primary focus of, I think at the time when it started, was to bring information to entrepreneurs or other individuals from previously excluded or disadvantaged communities, and has sort of grown over the years to being an organization that has brokered enterprise supply development opportunities, brokered procurement deals, and we've facilitated quite a number of training and workshop initiatives. And over the past 6 years, we've been able to directly impact over 50,000 township, mostly township, and a very small amount of rural entrepreneurs.
Sure. Bulelani, you know, it's I was saying that it's probably premature to ask the question of, you know, how do entrepreneurs or township entrepreneurs and small businesses move forward after the looting and setting alight of shops, which of course is incredibly devastating, right? But the work that you've done as the Township Entrepreneurs Alliance was to conduct a survey last year that, you know, was a COVID-19 and lockdown impact survey. And at the time, I guess none of us could have countenanced or imagined that there'd be active looting and the breaking down and destruction of businesses to this scale and in this manner. But just put us in the picture of what you found and the key takeaways from that survey. First of all, what struck me and stood out for me was that 81% of the businesses that took part had an annual turnover of 250,000 rand or less, right? And 95% of these businesses were uninsured.
Which in and itself is a stark, shows a very, very stark and clean picture. But I mean, I want to reference back to one of the key things that also been found in the report, which sort of to a degree sort of links up with the events of the past few days, which was the fact that there was a rise in business crimes, you know, ever since the pandemic kicked in and the lockdown, which then posed a very big problem, because these then sort of business crimes were now directly aimed at these sort of standalone businesses that are operating within the township.
Mm-hmm.
Now that in itself then causes a very big problem, you know, in the fact that when you sort of look at the events of the past few days, I mean, they had heavy criminal elements and criminal activity,
yeah.
You know. But I mean, I sort of look at what has happened in the past few days, and I think in and around the question that you ask around recovery and how would these entrepreneurs sort of, you know, go by or develop or change. I mean, it is a little bit too soon to sort of tell.
Sure,
but I think one thing that we do know for a fact is, I mean, I think it's what you just mentioned now, how about a large majority of these entrepreneurs don't have business insurance.
Mm.
And that is a fact. I mean, well over 90% of them don't have business insurance. And I mean, just to add a bit of weight behind it, that is based on a report that we did with engagements with over 6,000 township entrepreneurs nationally.
Yeah.
So if that becomes sort of pool index that we utilize, you then find that with the exacerbated pressure of the lockdown, you know, and the large number of these entrepreneurs sort of failing or not participating, you can imagine how many more have prioritized paying insurance over paying salaries or putting bread on the table.
Mm.
So the situation in and of itself is clean. But I think before I go deeper into what we sort of need to do, so that lockdown township economic survey, these are just four key findings, right? The first finding was 67% of these entrepreneurs were not able to operate during the harsh lockdowns. Now, this was lockdown level 5 all the way to lockdown level 3. Mm. The bulk majority of them said, well, bulk being 75% of them experienced a decline in their sales. Now, when we sort of probed the relief schemes that were sort of made available to these entrepreneurs, and namely, I think, within sort of Profile 3, which was the Department of Small Business Development Fund, the UIF, and also private institution funds, right? Only 2% applied for the Small Business Development Fund, 3% applied for the UIF, and 1% of these entrepreneurs applied for the private funding. Mm.
Why was there such a small rate of entrepreneurs applying for funds that would have helped them or bolstered them ultimately?
You know why? It goes back to the bureaucracy in and around how the relief schemes were sort of set up. I mean, as you sort of look at the Department of Small Business Relief Scheme, initially it sent out a call to action, a call to all small businesses saying, apply on our platform so that we can give you relief. And then in the couple of days later, it came back to say, we are only interested in giving relief to enterprises who are offering essential services, so sanitizer supplies, fumigation, and all of that stuff. So it caused a lot of confusion. I think it caused a lot of confusion also on the back of the fact that the sentiment around the Department of Small Business had already been negative for quite a while, right? And I think over and above that was the sort of stringent criteria. And I think by no means are we saying that let entrepreneurs not follow criteria is given to them. But I mean, in line with the fact that it's a relief scheme, let there be a level of leniency. Also, let there be a level of understanding of the fact that what an informal market is. And I think how the criteria was sort of developed with a lack of understanding of what the South African landscape of small business is. Because if you understood it, you would understand that majority of these entrepreneurs are operating on a 15-day cycle. A large majority of these entrepreneurs over and above that are in debt.
Yeah.
Meaning that whatever matrix, that financial matrix that you use, which is standardized, won't work for them because they will not have the equity, number one, and they will not have the right credit scoring or the right financial documents for them to be able to meet your relief scheme measurement pool.
So, I mean, that goes a large way to, obviously, we're talking about the township economy, but that goes a large way, Bulelani, in establishing the sort of peculiarities of being an entrepreneur in the township and, you know, what it is to operate within that context. context. Also on the line with us is Thabiso Sebata, who's the co-founder of Alex Biz. Of course, Alex being also particularly hard hit as a community in Gauteng that saw looting on a huge scale, on a large scale. Thabiso, thank you so much for your time this morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rufila. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thabiso, could you put us, just paint a picture for us and you know, tell us what things look like on the ground right now in Alex? We know yesterday we saw pictures even by Thursday we saw pictures and reporting of, you know, Alex residents queuing for things like bread and other essentials at Alex Mall, right? The only mall that had not been touched by the unrest and the looting. So no doubt, bleak. What's happening on the ground?
Well, the spirits are down. I think a lot of the entrepreneurs have been hard hit and they are feeling it at the moment because you have restaurants that don't have access to basic goods that they would use to run their business. So people who run like, a shop that sells slai or a quarter, which is like a sandwich that we would sell,
sure,
don't have access to bread. So there's quite a lot of people who are feeling the impact of the aftermath of what happened this week.
Yeah. As you've gone through the rest of the week or the end of the week, Thabiso, you know, what's been the sort of prevailing sentiment from entrepreneurs and small business owners in terms of the scale of what they've lost, but also their thoughts about how to pick up the pieces? And, you know, I was asking Bulelani this question and saying, I'm sure it's quite early, too early to even be thinking about picking up the pieces. But this is the predicament we find ourselves in, right? That if so few entrepreneurs and small business owners even applied for those relief funds and those relief schemes just under lockdown and COVID-19 pressures alone, then ultimately entrepreneurs are on their own and they do have to start thinking about, you know, the future, the immediate future, despite the fact that they're going through it, as we'd say.
I think there's quite a lot of work that we still need to do as a group because we have a group of 170 businesses. So we are trying to assist them as much as we can, but we are calling out for help. So anyone who is willing and able to assist a business or adopt a business and help them, whether through just helping them manage whatever that they have remaining or having a contact that can fund them, or any means of help would do right now. A lot of them have lost equipment. They had their equipment stored in like these storages that got looted. So a lot of them need to purchase equipment for catering and, you know, cameras and stuff. So there's a lot of them that are starting from scratch. So we are calling out for help. We're asking that if you are interested in or are able to assist in any way, please do reach out. We are partnered with organizations like Rays of Hope. You can also reach out through them at raysofhope.org.za.
Sure.
So there's a need, and we've been just hearing a lot of people coming and just asking that, can you just assist in us just getting back?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Bulelani, you've heard what Thabiso Sebata from Alex Biz has had to say. How have we been able to assess the damage done, what's been lost so far?
I mean, I think the actual assessment, right, I think much to my appreciation in terms of what Sebata and his team are doing, I think much of the damage has been assessed, because I think what we're also doing on our side is we are actually engaging with the entrepreneurs we work with and the ones that we don't even work with nationally, right?
Sure.
To also ascertain the actual extent of the damage. I mean, we've got a sort of damage report from a few, but I think one will appreciate it better when one actually goes deeper, which is why I think it's that lack of going deeper for us in this particular line, or rather even economic sector, that has failed, that has failed intervention in the past, because of the fact that we're not going as deep as we should. I mean, we're getting reports published 2 days into riots that are still 5 days in, telling us that 14,000 businesses are impacted, but those are top line numbers, you
sure.
know. And I think for when you don't have institutions that have framed themselves in engaging guys like Devato and his team, guys like Bulelani and other proactive players within the market, then you'll always speak amiss in terms of some of the solutions that you sort of drive across, you
sure.
know. But what you know for a fact is there will be a heightened mortality rate in and around these businesses if they do not get the support that they require. And I think when we talk of support in this time, we need to shift it, right? Especially when you're talking to two business owners,
sure.
let's sort of think long-term support with the ideal of linking it to procurement support mm-hmm. and procurement pipelines that are linked to these very modes and developments that are in the township. That I think sort of also shifting people's perceptions of them in positioning there as white elephants in the middle of the township that have come in to hold off all the funds and leave nothing for the small business players.
Sure.
You know, start to get the small business and the small township businesses to participate in the procurement mm-hmm. processes, whether it be it supplying products, whether it be providing security or whatsoever the case is. It becomes very important for long-term economic sustainability.
Yeah. You know, Tabi, so to that point, and if you can, before I let you go, if you can just elaborate on other long-term and sustained ways of thinking about understanding the township economy. And as you've said, we're sitting in a situation where we've got high youth unemployment, high unemployment in the country in general, and yet we're quite comfortably talk about a formal and informal economies. And then when it comes to helping entrepreneurs who, you know, largely fall in that informal sector, we then have these unreasonable or unrealistic expectations or barriers to entry. So other interventions that we need to keep in mind going forward if the township economy is to recover, not just to the state that it was pre-COVID, but beyond that, in fact, to thrive. Oh, looks like we've lost Bulelani there. Let's see if we can get him back on. Bulelani, can you hear me?
Yeah,
there we go. We've got you back.
Yeah. No, so I think for me, if we're talking about, for instance, what we need to do, you know, this pandemic also, I think from a relief perspective, this becomes a great opportunity for corporates to link their solutions, right? Whatever interventions they're going to bring up to their current existing enterprise supply development fund that would have historically been given to incubators, you know, to train entrepreneurs. You know, I mean, if you're training an entrepreneur ahead at 300,000 rand a year or more, right, and this money doesn't even get into the hands of this entrepreneur, but it's soft skills that are much needed. One could also then in this time sort of split that fund and redirect a portion of it to the assisting of these entrepreneurs. I mean, you know, and I mean, I go on a limb and saying that if an entrepreneur has already been looted, you know, if an entrepreneur has already been looted, that means that they have a business, they've already got skin in the game, sort of got what I deem a lootable idea.
Sure.
And, you know, going towards supporting that entrepreneur in rebuilding for now and with the long term being considered goes a long way. But I think also goes back to the communities, and I think the sort of communities that have come up around the country to protect these small businesses, you know, I commend them. And I really think that what we're going to need also moving forward is, you know, rebuilding the investor sentiments within our townships. And every time we talk of investor sentiment, we think of these
overseas.
Big companies that are going to come, someone is going to come in a big X, you know, German car and drive into that. No, think of investor sentiment as being Tandy, who's got a restaurant idea and just got the options of starting this in Tembisa, Guamaju, or Sanson, or Alexander, right? It's just going to take their community and how they appreciate these small businesses there, support them, and I think also give financial support to these businesses. And that is how it's going to also then impact and change the sort of investor sentiment and protecting our own market by also supporting it holistically.
And we'll have to leave it right there. Bulelani Balabala is a Township Entrepreneurs Alliance founder. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Bulelani. And Thabiso Sebata is co-founder of Alex Biz, bringing us his perspective, his insight on what's happening on the ground with business and entrepreneurship in Alexandra Township.